Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle
Young with For His Glory Ministry. We welcome you today to our show.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us today. Our ministry is called For His Glory because that's what we do and that's why we're created. It's for His
glory.
And our purpose is to help you see the Bible through Hebrew eyes and come to a deeper understanding and revelation of the truth. Today we're beginning a 12-week series on the deity of Jesus Christ. Now, what does it mean when we say the deity of Jesus Christ? That Jesus Christ is
God.
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's what it means. Deity means God. Unless we firmly settle this issue, people, in your hearts and souls, everything else you learn will be without firm foundation. There is no foundation that can be laid other than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11. And to mention this to you also, in John 8, starting at verse 24, I'm going to read to you the words from Jesus himself. I said therefore to you that you shall die in your sin. You shall die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. All right? The term sins is in a plural. Unless you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. Now, the I am is a divine title. That's what God said to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus 3, 14 and 15. So when God says in the flesh, I am, Jesus is saying that I am God. It doesn't mean that if he's a good teacher, then you accept him as a good teacher, that that's all you need to do. When some people accept Jesus as a prophet, is that enough?
No.
What if they say, well, he's a good teacher, great morals and ethics, is that enough?
Definitely not enough.
He gave great moral lessons to the world that has changed the face of the world, is that enough?
No, it isn't.
What about the fact that he had a healing ministry and for 3.5 years, they were all healed who came to him, period.
That's not enough.
What would be enough?
To know that he is God.
And to accept him in our heart and soul and make him our Lord and Savior, which he eternally is. So the purpose of the series is to evidence and demonstrate and substantiate and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord.
That he is God.
God in the flesh. God manifest. God man. Fully God and fully man. Perfect God and perfect man. Now a correct understanding of the deity of Jesus Christ, who he is, leads one then to a correct understanding of the work of Christ, and thus the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, do we have the progression? We must first see that he is God. When we have a correct understanding that Jesus Christ is God, that leads to a correct understanding of the work that he has done, which comes out of his own being. When we understand who he is, we understand what he does, then we understand the good news, the euangelion, or bsorah in Greek and Hebrew respectively, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That gives us what we need for starters. However, a fallacious or wrong understanding of Jesus Christ leads inexorably to a doctrine replete with error of the most egregious kind with respect to the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then they have an eternally wrong view of the gospel. They don't get it. So it's really, people, it's black or white. It's heaven or hell. It is right or it is wrong. There's really no neutrality here. God has made it very simple and very clear. Mm-hmm. So you know what's going on. This is something I find that the world, Danielle, you probably have seen this too, the world craves to know what's what.
That's right, yes.
They want to know what's right. They want to know what's wrong. They don't want a bunch of ifs and mamby-pamby and wishy-washiness.
I think the world really wants to know the truth.
Why?
I think everyone's after the truth.
Why?
It gives value to our lives, and confusion leaves when we know the truth.
You know, that's an interesting point you bring up. I remember another minister talking about that very point. Because if people, although some may say they don't want truth or any absolutes, and everything is relative, then it can't really put a value on something substantial because it's all relative. And if what they do is neither right or wrong, then that means it either has, if it's right, it'll have value. If it's wrong, it will be valueless. If it's neither, then what they do really has no substantial value because it really doesn't matter at all.
Right.
But then what does that mean about their life?
That doesn't matter either.
It doesn't really matter. And then what are they leaving to people and what are they leaving to the world? Not much at all.
Nothing.
No. So while they turn around and say, well, I don't want to be judged because I don't want values of what I do being determined, they have just done that to themselves by saying whatever they do, now they've taken away a value because they don't have a parameter with which to measure it. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that in the world today, among religious and non-religious people, you can talk about virtually any religious figure in the world today. And you can name them. I mean, you can all name dozens of religions and faiths out in the world today. And I don't want to paint a picture, people, that we're questioning someone's sincerity. That's not the issue, nor ever will be. I hope it's not. I would like to think that people believe what they believe sincerely, which sincerely comes from the Latin sincera, without wax. So they used to put wax in when they broke a piece of pottery or sculpting. They just took some wax to stick it in a hole and fix it up and polish it up and say, well, here, it's kind of okay. But they would really used to put their stamp of approval on it, and they would say sincera, without wax, like this is the real McCoy. This is the right, genuine, authentic piece of work. So when we sign letters, typically in a Western culture, sincerely Joel Young, sincerely Danielle Young, it means without wax, what I've written and have said prior is true and absolute. People want that.
Yes.
I don't think people want to come home to a spouse, as Zig Ziglar recently said, a spouse that's relatively faithful. Relatively.
Yes.
You know, we kind of want relative. Or have an accountant that handles our books that's relatively honest. I don't think so. And, you know, we laugh about this, and hopefully it's an easy laugh. And we have to be very honest, though. We should, if we want this kind of relativity in another area, it really tells us more about us that we're not being honest or truthful with ourselves. So when you look again at the leaders of various religions of the world, you can sit today in any coffee shop or place in the world and talk at leisure with most anyone about most any figure, except one. When you mention the name of Jesus Christ,
right,
lines are divided in the sand. There are people who will scatter.
That's right.
And other people who will get shook, and the most liberal at times will become quite the contrary.
It's funny, you can talk about God,
yes,
G-O-D, and nothing. Nothing
it's culturally
seems
acceptable.
Wrong.
It's politically correct.
But you say Jesus, the powerful name of Jesus.
The only one.
And that can cause lots of trouble.
It must mean
something.
Yeah, it must mean something because
right,
that name, even among people who don't believe in the Bible, will shake them.
Yes.
And it's
it
a very
will.
Interesting thing for us to see. So Chua. Continuing. Yeshua. In Hebrew, it is Yeshua.
Yes.
So we find that if someone doesn't have the right view, the soul is going to fall one way or another, and only the truth of the gospel of our Lord God will set the person free. So it's to this end, people, we're going to labor, we're going to help set you free so you can see the Son of God. To this, the saints who have contended for the faith speak the truth earnestly with one penetrating voice, that you must know that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's our whole purpose. That is the tone that we're going to set for you. So our presentation is expected to be for you prayerfully clear, cogent, and comprehensive, but it will not be exhaustive due to the time, yet the evidence will be convincing. So we want you to come with an open heart and a seeking mind to know the truth which sets you free. So now come and see, come and meet your God, the Lord Jesus Christ, right now. We want you to come and meet the one to whom all history will attest that he is the singularly most important figure and most influential figure in history, bar none. You can read encyclopedias and major volume works that have been done, like by Mortimer Adler, on the world and the history, and you'll find that the most words that have been written about any one person, and this is by secular work, people, this is not Christian authors, although they are people, please, honest, even though they have a bias. We can be honest, and we are. So you'll find that in secular writings, there are the most words that have been written in many scholarly works of major voluminous works like encyclopedias and these voluminous compendiums of world history. The singular most important figure in history about whom more is written than anybody else is
Jesus
Christ. Jesus Christ. Who?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ, because he has had more influence on anyone and anything all put together, bar none. Here's an interesting aside with that. He did it in 3.5 years.
Wow.
That's less time than most of us go to college.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
We're not talking about, because most of his life, except for some incidences in his early life, are not mentioned. If you look at the gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the vast volume of those, if you timeline them out, people, there's an unequal balance of his whole life. Most of the events there center on the last week of the 3.5 years, chapter after chapter. If you look at like the 28 chapters of Matthew and go through each of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and just how many chapters for how many years of his ministry, most all of that is going to focus on the last week because it builds to a crescendo. It builds to a finality. And we come to the final crux of it, which is the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he was crucified on the third day, according to scriptures. He was buried. He was resurrected from the grave, and he has ascended on high. And that is the whole focus, because if Christ was not crucified and resurrected, we have no faith. That's the bottom line. Yes?
That's an important statement to remember, that Jesus Christ in 3.5 years,
yes,
could influence the world, and that influence is lasting
millennia.
Millennia.
Since the first century and continuing, not only with no signs of abating, it is increasing. There are more people being influenced and coming to Christ, including Jews finding their Messiah, because Jesus Christ, Christ is not his last name,
right.
It's Jesus the Christ, coming from Christos, which is Greek, coming from the Hebrew Mashiach,
yes,
which means Messiah, the Anointed One, or Anointed One. HaMashiach means the Anointed One. You made a good point. In 3.5 years, he has done more than anyone has for decades in their lives.
Right. Forever.
And it's interesting.
It is interesting.
Now, if you look at scientists such as Sir Isaac Newton and world-class philosophers like Blaise Pascal, they have bowed their knees to him. For example, Isaac Newton, who's well-known throughout history, really pretty much finished his scientific work by age 42. After that, not often known by most people, he devoted the rest of his time to biblical studies, things of the Spirit, and Bible codes.
Wow.
Which is quite an interesting thing. And wrote a commentary, I think, on a book of Daniel, and has done some fascinating work, because this, he felt, was his next progression beyond science.
Wow.
And that should be taught in school. Yes, and Blaise Pascal said his greatest discovery was his discovery of God. Now, these people knew something. These people have contributed to the world in very tangible ways. They knew something, and they knew something about God. What about law? We're talking about people and influence of Jesus Christ now in culture, in custom, in society, and his impact that has been had. Looking at English and American law and justice, setting a standard most of the world has followed in measure, the Western world, the standard of English and American law and justice, has set a standard that the world would and has looked well of. But who are the people who have been moved to formulate Western law and English law. You have people like John Locke, who is a major force behind our early founding documents of America that have not been constitutionally altered except in a sense of replaced. Italy, their constitution has undergone dozens of changes. We have the same standing documents for over 200 years. And the people in this country who know what we have went through in our recent elections in America, those founding documents and the foresight, God-given foresight of our founding fathers, those documents were put to the test in our recent presidential elections. And they have stood under the most rigorous examination and pressure and came out with shining colors. So if we look to people at the time like John Locke, William Gladstone, William Wilberforce, William Blackstone in England, if you study the lives of these people, for example, Blackstone's work was basically obligatory in law, and he set a standard for that time in history. While in the United States, people like James Witherspoon, John Adams, James Madison, John Marshall, you know what's interesting about all of the above people? They were all Christians. All of them. All of the men we have just read their names, every single one of them were Christians there. All these men from Locke we read all the way and gave you the list to Madison, John Marshall, everyone. And they took the teachings and principles of Christianity to and applied them to individual rights and freedoms under law. Do you understand?
They were lawyers?
These are people who were in law and different fields of law and justice. And in the different aspects, what they have done is take their knowledge and as Christians, applied it to these fields and became major forces of how to use that in our societies, both abroad and at home here in America. Let's look at another topic that's very important to people and should be very important to all. Women suffrage. The suffrage of women and infanticide. Now, women have suffered horrendously throughout history. If you look back in the times of Rome and including in many portions of the world today, women have been downplayed and treated as second-class citizens. There's a case that I was reading about recently in the past couple of years where there was a woman in one culture where she was outside in the field, working in the field, yoked to another oxen. And it wasn't thought much of. Work, 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 and treated often very poorly in areas where the gospel has not penetrated. We also know this is in the time of Rome, where children, for example, were left outside, unwanted children. And they just were taken and left outside to die. It was nothing. You have the same, unfortunately, in some places of the world today, where having a child who's a girl, it's considered a deficit. Was having a boy who's going to work and was considered an asset. And in many places, you'll find that the women, the children, these little girls are killed indiscriminately. Where the gospel has not penetrated. However, you will find that every place the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ has penetrated and been established, women have been elevated, women have been honored, and women have been respected. We had done a tape series before, which Danielle's going to mention on our website later, where you'll find that we did a tape series called Women, because sometimes in reading the Bible, some of the texts that appear to be hard, which just means we don't have enough light or revelation on them, appear to some, without understanding it well, that women are not given the honor and respect they do. It's quite the contrary. It was revolutionary. Things that were being written in the time of the world, and the elevation of women throughout the Bible who were equally made in the image of God has been given a perfect place with God. They walked with Jesus, they ministered to him, they ministered with Paul, and they were just given places of honor as well they should, equal to men.
The Women tape is a great teaching. If you're interested in that subject, women in the Bible.
How did it help you?
Oh, it was wonderful. I just felt great after listening to the teaching. It cleared up a lot of things that I thought did not sound exactly right.
When you first read them in the Bible or heard about them.
Yeah, it made me feel bad. But after the teaching, it cleared up the problems. The
points of tension.
Points of tension, exactly.
It's a good point. What happened is, what was the general tone of the people after the first taping of that in class?
Well, the people in class felt empowered.
What about the men?
The men, too. It was wonderful.
Yeah, that's what truth does.
Yes.
Truth will free everyone. It's not women against men. It's women and men.
Yes.
Not competing, but completing.
It was great.
Each other.
If you want a great teaching on women, get the tape.
Also, for children and the infants of the world, the teachings of Jesus Christ has given the children life, respect, protection, family, and the instructions of the Lord Himself through godly parents by the Word of God. Now, here's a very interesting one. Jesus' influence on schools has been enormous. For example, in America, in the first 100 years of our country's history, more than 128 colleges were established, all founded by either a church, denomination, or religious group. That was the point of school. Jesus Christ would be honored, the deity of Christ would be known, and we would understand the Bible, and they would learn to read so they could learn to read the Bible when they first started school even, which is amazing. Now, what about hospitals? The Red Cross, the Salvation
Army.
You know, when you hear these names, people, think about what that Salvation Army, started by John Booth, a Christian, Red Cross, orphanages, rest homes, and many other humanitarian institutions have been founded and financed by the followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. This kind of unswerving dedication and relentless pursuit of who He is could not have been for no reason. He is Lord, and He's touched people to the depths of a soul in all the spectrum of life itself. Now, what about songs, Danielle, and music and art? Has Christ touched those areas?
Most definitely.
For people?
Oh, yes.
Artists and music and literature, the world of literature, were and continue to be influenced for the great good of humanity by the life and teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what about the power of God to change lives, the power of Jesus? You've seen it with alcoholics, get free, drug addicts, heroin addicts, who have not only gotten free of heroin, but also no, what?
Withdrawal symptoms.
None, thank you.
Yes.
No withdrawal, nothing. People, that doesn't just happen medically, period. Only the power of God Himself, the power of Jesus Christ, could do that. What about for homosexuals? Free when they come to God, who in no wise cast them out. Bisexuals, liars, cheats, thieves, and the mass of people who just feel worthless, helpless, and hopeless have, to a man and to a woman and to a child, found the answer for living. Indeed, a new and most wonderful life indeed through our precious Lord Jesus Christ. So recognize, as we go through the next weeks on the deity of Jesus Christ Himself, you must understand something, that the deity of Christ, who He is, as you come to know that, you'll appreciate more and more who He is, and then you have two ways of looking at this. You put faith in God. You can have great faith in God. You can also have faith in a great God. And the greater you see your God, the easier it is for you to have faith. The greater you see your God, the easier it is for you to live your life.
You're saying that you have to be sure who Jesus is to worship Jesus.
Absolutely. And He has made it very sure for us there. There's nothing but pure black and white here. And He has brought light to the issue for all of us to see. So we're enjoining you to come and see and come and learn and come and meet your Lord Jesus Christ,
sure.
because he desires to be Lord of all.
Right.
And he has given us the power to choose people. That power of choice is the most powerful thing you have in life,
yes.
your own will.
Yes.
Don't waste it. Don't waste another moment. If you're honest after the truth, God will meet you on the plains of truth. You come with a seeking heart and an open mind. You could be skeptical. Don't be close-minded. Be willing to check everything out. And everything we say can easily be substantiated. So please come and learn. Clear your mind of any preconceptions you may have thought about Jesus Christ. Let him speak for himself. Amen?
Amen.